Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan. You are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Don't go down the road. Y'all may want to jump in Holland. I'll be way down the road. I might not get there. And I just want to speak and teach to our men today. Is that all right? Judges chapter 6. And I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible. For those of you that have it, I'm going to ask that we read it in unison this morning. We're going to come from Judges chapter 6, verses 11 through 12. When you have it, say amen. Let us read together in unison. Judges chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. Beginning at verse 11, and the word of the Lord reads, "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of God." You may be seated. The Lord is with you, thou mighty man of God. I just want to talk to the men today. Because God is saying, we need more mighty men. We need more. We need some men who can take on some challenge. We need some men who are able to stand when everybody else is falling. God's saying, I need some men who are not afraid to die. I need to. And when I say die, I need some men that are not afraid to die for the sins of righteousness and hope. That takes a mighty man. When we look at the definition of mighty, it means possessing great and impressive power or strength. That is what God is looking for. He does not want any weak. I remember when I was in basic training in the military, they weeded out all the weak men. They put me through some strenuous calisthenics and tests. They ran you. They made you push up to play and jump just to see if you were going to be a mighty man. Because in the midst of battle, when things get hot and heavy, if you're not a mighty man, you're going to be a running man. And God doesn't need any men to run away from holiness and righteousness. He called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And when we look at the word valor, great courage in the face of danger. Especially in battle. Now, my question to my men is, as my daddy used to say to me when I was growing up, amongst other things, he used to call me pretty much Floyd. figured I didn't like to get dirty. It wasn't the fact that I didn't like to get dirty, I just didn't like to stay dirty and look dirty. I didn't like to get the appearance, even though I worked outside, I didn't have to look like I worked outside.
I said, amen.
And so he would call me pretty boy Clark, after cutting grass and pulling up weeds without gloves, and digging in the dirt, I would go home, soak my hands and clean my fingernails and get cleaned up. And he'd say, just a pretty boy Clark. Well, I just don't want my hands to look like yours. It's something about that, especially, you know, doing what I do, you know, speaking and teaching and working around, especially, you know, when you're working around women, they look at you. They look at you, and they look at your fingers. There's a thing, I see, they all smiling out there today, because they look at you. I'm not trying to not, you know, my hands are rough, like a man's hands are supposed to be rough, but they don't have to look rough. Can I get an amen? So he used to call me and put it more smart, but he also used to ask me this question. Are you a man or are you a mama? He'd be in the midst of doing something and get a little hard. He'd say, boy, are you a man or are you a mama? And I would ponder that question. I said, I ain't no mama. And he'd say, well, man up. And basically, when you look at that, the meaning is, are you courageous or are you a coward? Are you courageous or are you a coward? And God is saying, I'm looking for two mighty women. I was thinking about that question, am I a man or a mouse? I can only just envision one mouse in my day that had some carrots. And this was in the day when we had real cartoons. We had real cartoons. And it was a cartoon character by the name of Mighty Mouse. He was a bad mouse. Now, he would come and save the day. He would go into battle. He would go into any place and do anything. So if I had to be a mouse, I'd want to be a Mighty Mouse. Because he was a bad mouse. He didn't take any stuff. And so I was working on this, and I was like, okay, Lord, you're looking for mighty men. And he went to Gideon, and where did he find Gideon? He was threshing wheat by the wine press. There was a war that was going on there with the Midianites, and he was trying to get his little stuff together to hide it from them. But the angel of the Lord was already sitting there. He was already watching what's going on. Man, God's already watching. He's watching what you do, what you say. He's watching you, and he knows your heart. And so the angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said unto him, the Lord is with you. And then he called him a mighty man of God. God has the power to look beyond where you are and see your potential. Gideon is there hiding stuff. But here, God is calling him a mighty man of valor. Because God has already got a destiny for him. God has already got something for him to do. We as men, we have something that God wants us to do. We just have to get in a position to hear from God and understand that if we just say yes to the Lord, that's all we need to do. And why am I talking to our men today stating that we need to be mighty? I know y'all turn on TV. Watch some things. See all these commercials. We see athletes. And we look at the stuff that they're wearing and the image that they are portraying. I cut no slack. I'm 100% man. I tell my wife all the time, I can't go to jail because I wouldn't survive. But when we look at the characteristics of a mighty man of valor, which was Gideon, he had the characteristics of humility, caution, spirituality, obedience, divine inspiration, and divine fellowship. He was a strategic man, and he had tact, and he had loyalty to God. Now, I'm going to show you that in the scripture, right there in the Word of God. But what was I saying? God is looking for mighty men. When I turn on the television, and when I go through life today, and I walk through offices, and I walk through the mall, and I go places, I see the feminization of men today. I see it. And if y'all don't see it after today, just look around you. The feminization of men. Why is that going on? God is saying, I need mighty men. A man who is going to be a man. And on the flip side, we see women starting to look like men. We have a problem here. We have a problem here because everybody has their own role. In the beginning, God made them male and female. I don't care who hears me today. I'm speaking truth. This is not my opinion. It is the Word of God. He made them male and female, but why in the world does a man feel like he has to be a female? I'm going to call him out. I mean, watch some of these sports shows and watch when they're coming into the arena. Look at the things that they are wearing. They want to say it's manly. No, it's not. I got in a conversation with a group of young boys. I said, why are you wearing your pants? I got to come out here to y'all. And I told him, and I'm going to Google it for you, too. What man walk around with his pants all his time? And then that. Women wear their pants up like that. But they think that is fashionable today. And they see it on the covers of magazines, and they wear clothes so tight, look like they got on their little brother clothes. And wearing flowery patterns. Come on, y'all look at me like I'm crazy. I'm just telling you what I see. And they think that's cool. Y'all want me to stop? Look, I'm just saying, God is looking for mighty men. If you're going to be a man, dress like a man. And y'all going to go home and y'all going to watch the other the covers of these magazines, and it just looks so feminine. And then they began not only to look feminine, but they began to take on the characteristics. Listen to the voices in interviews. Listen to this. Why? Satan is on a mission. If Satan can destroy the strong and mighty man, if he can take over the strong man of the house, he can do some damage to society. But we're looking at it like nothing's going on. And then we have women cutting their hair, looking like men, wearing all these things to take away what God gave them up top so they can look like they have a chest like a man. And you walk around, they want to put a lot of bass in their voice. And then they walk in with their boyfriend, and she's talking deeper than he is. She's like, what you going to do? He's like, I don't know what it is. I think that's a problem. I'm looking for a man that understands that if he submits unto Christ,
that he can do great exploits and great things because it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that's found over in the book of Zechariah. So God is calling for us to say, okay, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be a man. But as being a man doesn't mean that we don't get afraid. It doesn't mean that we always have the answer. We may not have the answers, but the best place to go for an answer, we know, and that is the Lord. And that is a man who has loyalty to God. Now, in verse 12 of Judges, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of God. And then verse 13, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. He is now recalling, he says, well, God, if you said you're with me, why is all of this happening around me? God, if you said you're looking for mighty men, why is my house in disarray? Why is my job laying me off? Why am I going through so much trouble? God is saying, I'm strengthening you to do what I called you to do. And then verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianite. Have not I said? Here in this verse, we see the Lord is now calling this man who was hiding out by the wine press to go and save his people. God is calling us men now to come out from hiding. Come out and come and do what I want you to do, and I want you to save your people. He says, you don't have to worry about it because I'm going to do it all. Because Gideon did it with 300 men. It was the power of God who did it. So what do we see here in that verse? Well, verse 15. And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewithal shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Here we have a picture of humility. And Gideon is saying, okay, God, you selected me. You chose me, but who am I? Who am I to do this task? Who am I? My family is poor. And I am the least in my father's house. Wait a minute, God. I'm poor. We don't have anything. And everybody in the whole house, I'm the poorest one. So you're calling me, God is saying, I don't need your money. God is saying, I don't need your goodness. God is saying, all I need is for you to say yes to me and to be a willing vessel. Because if you do that, I can make up the difference. Man, I'm here to tell you today, whatever you're going through, be a mighty man. Just spend some time with God. No matter what you're going through, God will make up the difference. If that door that you need opened up, he just said, say yes to me. Say I'm going to go on the battlefield. He'll open that door for you. All you got to do is say, God, I want to be a mighty man. God, I want to make a difference in my household. And then in verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as what? One man. How God needed one man. Y'all remember the story of David and Goliath. He went out and faced the giant. He had an army of people, and they were scared. But David, one little man, one little boy, took on the challenge, and he said, I'll do it. God isn't looking for somebody to say, I'll do it. And he went out and he faced the giant, killed him with one stone. One small stone, and he took out the problem. Well, God took out the problem. God is saying to you men today, if you put me first, if you do what I've called you to do, if you say I want to be a mighty man, I will take out your problem. One man. God had one man by the name of Moses. One man to lead the children out of Egypt. One man. All these people. He just needed one man to say, yes, Lord. Now, Moses, he put up some struggles. He put up some excuses. I can't speak, Lord. He put up some excuses. But at the end of the day, God answered all his excuses. Maybe God is saying, time out for excuses. Time out for excuses. Verse 17. And he said unto him, if I now have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. See, I told you Moses was a little hesitant. And so he's getting, and he said, Lord, okay, I hear you talking to me, but I need a sign. Man, I'm here to tell you, if your faith is not where it should be, there's no problem with asking God a question. Sometimes we want to question God, but there's no problem with asking God, God, if you're really with me, I need you to help my unbelief. I want to do this in my mind. I want to do what's right, but I need you to help me. And this is where Gideon found himself. And then he said, if I now found grace in my sight, then show me a sign. Verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee and bring forth my present and set it before thee. And he said, I will tell. And Gideon went and basically he made a king. And the angel of the Lord told him, the angel of God said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon the rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes. And there rose up a fire out of the rock, and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cake. And the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. How many of you are afraid? How many of you need the sign from the Lord? My prayer today is that he sent you. Chapter 6, verse 36. Gideon. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. We need men to get to a place that if God said it, we need to believe it. But here we see the man, he's weak in his faith, and he said, okay, God, I heard you. But if you really said what you said and you meant what you said, I need you to do this for me. Verse 37, he said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside it, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. God says, okay. And it was so. For he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl for the Lord. A bowl for the Lord. He said, okay, God, I just need you to show me a sign now. Just make the fleece be there and he bring it out. I mean, y'all don't ask God to show you something. And he showed it to you. But then you'd be like Gideon. It's like, well, verse 39. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot. God, don't do that. Don't do that. I'm just healing. I'm just healing. And I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee. But this once with the feast, let it now be dry upon the feast. And upon all the ground, let there be dew. Can you imagine that? I told you I'm going to do it. But then you said, well, let the ground be dry and the fleece be wet. God did it. I'm out of bowl for the world. Well, God, really, if you really need for me to do it now, let the fleece be dry and all the dew on the ground. And verse 40, and God did so that night. For it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew all on the ground. And y'all do it. It's like this sister being in the middle of the floor, and the whole floor wet, then this day is dry. God did it. And then the first time, this was wet, and everything else was dry. And he went out a bowl for the water. Now, with God speaking, God had called him, and now God was telling him, look, you're going to defeat the enemy, and you're going to do it under my power, and you're not going to get the glory. And so what God is saying, men, I want you to stand up. I want you to rise up. I want you to put your trust in me. I want you, if you have any questions, just come to me. And even if your faith is weak and you need a sign, God is saying, I shouldn't have to show you a sign, but I'm willing to give you one because you're willing to give your heart to me. How many men today are looking for God to do something for them? I know I am. I have some expectations of my God. And that's why I'm going to spend some time with God. What am I saying? How do you become a mightier man in God? You got to spend some time with him. Men, there's no shame in falling down on your knees and crying out to God. You want to see that sign. You want to see that miracle. You want to see a change. All you got to do is call upon the Lord and he will answer. God is saying, I'm looking for some mighty men to go into battle, to go into school and be mentors to these young men, to teach them how to be men. I need a mighty man. Do I have any mighty men in here today? God is saying, I need somebody to be like Noah. To preach for 120 years and build an ark and nobody hears. Just as long as you do what God said, God is saying, I want you to be obedient. God is saying, if you want to see blessings today, be obedient to my call. Be obedient to what I challenge you to do. He says, I'm looking for a mighty man. God wants you to read his word. God wants you to spend some quality time with him. He wants divine fellowship with you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to know you more intimately. God has called you to do some things, but men, we're afraid. We're afraid of what the boys are going to say about us. I don't care about what the boys are saying. I care only about what God is saying to me now and what he's going to say that last day. Is he going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant? We got to stop getting caught up in what the media portrays as being a man. If you want to know what being a man is right here in the word of God and not in the words of those celebrities on the television. Y'all may say I'm bashing people, but no, I'm not bashing anybody. I'm promoting my God. I'm promoting what he says. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. He's saying, I need you to be there to take care of your family. A man who cannot take care of his own family and then expect to take care of the house of God is impossible. Because a man who cannot provide for his family is worse than an infidel. God is saying, I need mighty men. And here in the story of Gideon, we find out that after he accepted his call, after he said, I'm going to do what you called me to do, he then even went to God and asked God for a couple of sons. And God even gave him a few sons. And then on the way to battle, God did something very miraculous. And you can read the story in Judges 6 and 7. But how is it that God took his army from 32,000? See, a lot of times we get caught up in what we can do under our own power. He took his army from 32,000 to 10,000. Sometimes God has to strip us of some things so we can get to a place to where we can hear his voice and depend upon him and him alone. And not only did God reduce it from 32,000 to 10,000, and then he decreased it down to 300. And now you have 300 men going against thousands, hundreds of thousands of Midianites. But guess what? Guess who won? Guess who won the battle? Because I'm here to tell you, man, that struggle that you're going through, and that thing that's haunting you, the battle is not yours, it's the Lord's. Your battle is in your mind. Your battle is saying, do I want to submit or do I want to do it my own way? See, you're not battling that thing or that obstacle. You're battling your mind. That thing in your mind is going back and forth. Satan is playing with your mind. You can't do it. You can't do it. All you got to do is say, yes, I know I can't do it. But through God, it can be done. God is saying, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. So to be a mighty man of valor is to realize that I can do nothing without God. Nothing without God. In here, when he took 300 men and destroyed the Midianites, and you give God the glory, oh my goodness, what a testimony that is. What is it saying to us as men today? If we want to be mighty, all we got to do is strip away those things that cannot be used by God. Strip away those things that God does not need and put on the whole armor of God and submit to God and be led by God by allowing His Spirit to come inside of you to lead you. And oh, if we do that, what a change can take place. If we become mighty men, oh my goodness, we can have some mighty women. Oh, we can have some mighty women because a woman don't mind following a man of God. A woman don't mind following somebody that can hear a word from the Lord. Because you know that as long as I follow this man, as long as this man is following God, I know that my God shall supply all of my needs because I have a mighty man. Oh, how many of y'all don't mind following a mighty man even in the pitch black of darkness? Because we know if I got a mighty man on my left hand or a mighty man on my right hand, everything is already all right. Oh, if you got a mighty man, you don't mind going to different places because you know your man got your back. Your man got your front. Your man has your side, your left, and your right. Why? Because God has you. God is looking for some mighty man to step up to the plate. God is looking for some mighty men to make some changes. We don't have to all press 350 pounds. We don't all have to hit a ball out of the park. We don't even have to make that fantastic one-handed catch. All we got to do is say, yes, Lord. All we got to do is say, yes, Lord. And when we say yes to God, He'll say, all right, I got a mighty man down there. I can send him some blessings because I know he's going to do the right thing. I got a mighty man down there. I can bless him with some other things so he's going to do what is right. I've got a mighty man who's going to go to battle. I've got a mighty man who's going to teach the word. I've got a mighty man who's going to pray. I've got a mighty man who's going to lay hands on the sick. I've got a mighty man. God is looking for some mighty men.
We trust that you've been blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and Manhattan, you are listening to BashaniRadio.com. New York City, always talking about everything.